definitely thank Deacon for the hard work on yesterday getting the message board up on the sign. Now, the message for this morning, as you see it on the board, is walk in truth. Walk in truth. And we're going to be coming from 3 John verses number 3 and 4. As you see, 3 John only has one chapter, but we're going to be looking at verses 3 and 4. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." Verse number 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, when we consider the text, especially during the day and the time that we are living in, we have to take into consideration that there are basically two paths in life, two paths that are in life. Let's look at the Matthew 7, 13 and 14, because that one is a little bit more familiar to us. Matthew chapter number 7, 13 and 14. Yeah, that's a famous one. "Enter ye in at the straight gate," right? "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that does what? Leadeth." And many. So that's the one path, right? That's one path. That broad way, that wide gate that leads to what? Destruction. And the scripture tells us that many are going to go down that path, right? Now the next one is what? "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life," right? That's right, and only a few are going to be the ones that find that path. The straight and the narrow way, and you have the wide and the broad gate. Many are going down the broad way, and few are going down the narrow and the straight way. So those are the two paths of life. As the text says, the joy is seeing people walk in truth. Now the truth has got to be that straight and that narrow way. Because when Jesus says that, as we went over on last Sunday for the past two Sundays, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." To walk in the truth is to walk in Jesus, to walk down the path that Jesus has prepared to lead to life, that path that leads us to Jesus. But that other path, the broad way, the wide gate, according to the scripture, that leads to destruction. And we don't want to go down that path. We don't want to go down that way. All right. Now, someone else, let's get 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Yes. 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 There's no darkness. So when we're talking about walking down the path of truth, walking in truth, Jesus says that there is no darkness in him. There is no darkness in Jesus. All right, keep going. That's right. We lie. So obviously, that's that other path that we want to avoid. According to Matthew, that's the broad and the wide gate that leads to destruction. We don't want to go down that path, because that path, according to the scripture, is a path of darkness. We want to have fellowship with Jesus because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But if we don't have fellowship with Jesus, the only other path to walk on is the path that obviously it has to be Satan, because it's that path that leads to destruction. Scripture done told you that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. So that path that he is on, or that path that he leads people on, is a path of darkness, right? According to the scripture, we can't say that we have fellowship with Jesus and we're walking down the path of Satan or the path of darkness. According to Jesus, if we walk down that path of darkness, yet we say we have fellowship with Jesus, we are a liar, right? We are a liar. And the scripture says, and we do not the truth. I don't care how much good you do when you're walking down that path of darkness. Because you're not following Jesus, because you're on the wrong path, the scripture says you're not doing the truth. You, if you're not doing the truth, only thing left for you to do is to do a what? The lie. According to James, a fella is doing the lie when he says, the scripture says that in James 1 and 22, but be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only, else you do what? You deceive yourself. So a fella can easily quote scripture. He can easily tell you what the word is saying, but if he's not doing what the word says, he's on that path of darkness. He's on that path that leads to destruction. And the scripture done told you many are going down that path. So we got a whole, we already know that that path of darkness is filled with hypocrites. Hypocrites are people that tell you to do something that they're not doing themselves. In other words, they can tell you what the scripture says. They can tell you what the truth is, but they're not putting it into action. And what good is it for you to say the word and not actually do it? What good is it for you to quote the word and not actually put the word into action? According to this scripture, our goal is to have fellowship with Jesus. We realize Jesus is the light, right? And according to the book of St. John, the light is the life of men. The scripture said that that light shined in darkness, and the darkness wasn't able to comprehend it. He lighteth. He gives life to everyone that comes into this world. And we know that that's the truth. If we don't even pay attention to that as a people, we don't even understand all the money that is poured into health, all that money that goes into health, hospitals, all that stuff, all that money, the pharmaceuticals. What do you think people are trying to say? They want you to live. They're trying to get people to live as long as they can. So that lets you know something inside the creature don't want death. But there's something that's drawn them closer to death. But they, you think about the logic. They're pouring more money in the hospitals and the health and the pharmaceuticals, but they don't want to do nothing for Jesus. They don't want to pull nothing into Jesus. They don't want you to spend no time with Jesus. They don't want you to say, oh, you need to invest in Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is life. No, they say, no, no, no. The hospitals are life. The doctor's office is life. The medicine is life. No, it's not life. Because even if you go to the hospital, even if you take all the medicine, you still are going to die. Because according to the scripture, when Jesus called you, you're getting out of here. According to the scripture, you got an appointed time. A time to be born and a time to do what? Die, right? Now the scriptures, the church tells you about that. The church gives you light on that message. Now it is up to us to walk in Jesus. Jesus done told you, I am come that you might have life. If you are already living, why would Jesus come? Why would Jesus offer something if we already have it? Obviously, we do not have it. If Jesus is saying, I am come that you might have life, that lets you and I know we're missing life even though we're born. Even though we're born and walking around physically, we are still missing life. We are missing the truth. And that lets us know if we don't have Jesus, we're not just missing truth, but we're also missing life. So therefore, it's imperative. It's important for us to develop a relationship with Jesus. It's important to us to maintain fellowship with Jesus. What do you think the new birth is all about? New birth is trying to get you to be connected to Jesus. The birth that you got from Adam separated you from Jesus, because Adam's behaviors separated him from Jesus. Jesus told Adam, the day that you eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Didn't say that you were going to live. It says you were going to die. And when Adam ate of that fruit, according to the scripture, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Adam all die. Let's go over there really quick. Hold your finger there in 1 John, because I'm coming back to it. Go over to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. 15 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 20. All right, let me go over there. I'll get it. Don't worry about it. Chapter number 15, verse number 20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." That's a good enough thought already as to why you need to follow Jesus. If you want to get out of death, Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead. According to verse number 20, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death," right? So death did not come by Jesus. Death came by man. By what man? Adam. Adam is the one that brought death to us. And according to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, I already quoted it. "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." And we already know what the wage of sin is. According to Romans chapter number 6 and 23, "For the wage of sin is death. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin," or death as a result of sin. Right? "Therefore, death or sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Right? Now, it's telling you here in 1 Corinthians 15 and 21, "For since by man," that man is Adam, "since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." So obviously, if I go back to verse number 20, we already know who that man that gave us the resurrection of the dead is. It's Jesus Christ. Why? It says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." So if a person wants life, they got to come to Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Nobody but the devil would tell you to keep following behind him, because he knows he has nothing to offer you but death.
Right. Right. Right.
Jesus has come to give you an ability, the power, enable you to rise from the dead, right, to change your dead nature. That's the truth. That was what Scudder was talking about at that man at the gate called Beautiful. Right. Jesus allowed that man to experience something he could not experience on his own. Right. And it's no mystery why Jesus chose at that particular moment, at that particular location, to prove his resurrecting power. Physically, his body was no longer on the earth. But what was here? His name. And his name is life. He invested life in his name. He put all of his life-giving power, he put it right there in his name. And notice where that man was. That man was lame from his mother's womb. That man was at a temple that was called Beautiful, and he was still looking for beauty. Isn't that amazing? He was still looking for beauty at the temple called Beautiful. And Jesus let him know, "There's nothing more beautiful than my name." Why? Because when that man got the name of Jesus, his ankle bones received strength. In other words, the Lord brought that which was dead back to life. He is the resurrection and the life, right? He is the one that can bring you back to life. That's why we have to walk in the truth. I don't care what's going on in the earth. I don't care what message, what's on the news, what comes in scientific reports. Jesus is the truth. Walk behind Jesus. Walk down the path that Jesus has already laid out. He says, "I am the way," meaning I am the path. That path means access. Walk down the path that leads to life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, right? That's the truth, saints. That's the truth. Verse number 22 lets you know again who that man is. In verse number 21, that man in verse number 21 that brought death. Verse number 21 says, "For since by man came death," who is that man? Verse number 22 tells you, "For as in Adam," not some people, all die. All die, right? Now that lets me know that that broad way that leads to destruction is that way where man chooses to follow Adam more than they choose to follow Jesus. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, right? Go over to Romans chapter number 8, really quick. Romans chapter number 8. Didn't tend to go there. These are not scriptures that I have listed, but I just want you to understand this concept. If you go over to Romans chapter number 8, let's start at verse number 1 and work on that. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. We're going to simply call the flesh Adam. Who walk not after Adam, but after Jesus. After his spirit. Spirit is Jesus. In other words, you've got to have a mind to no longer want to follow behind the flesh. You got to want the Lord to change your position, right? As we said, position comes before performance. You need the Lord to change your position. I'm in the wrong position at birth. What position am I in at birth? I'm born in the state or the condition of sin. I need Jesus to change my position. I don't care how good I am. I don't care how much money I have. I don't care how much education I receive. I don't care what neighborhood I live in. I don't care who your friends are. You are born wrong. Why? Because you're born in the state or the condition of sin. Nobody's exempt from that. Scripture say all have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. His glory is his righteousness. It's nowhere in the world you and I can call ourselves righteous as long as we're in the wrong position. In other words, as long as sin dominates us, as long as we're in the position of sin, no matter what we do, it is like a filthy rag. It will never meet the Lord's acceptable requirement, right? That's the truth. No matter how good you do, how good you are, how nice you are, how sweet you talk, how much you give, when you're in the wrong position, it affects your performance. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It affects it. It has an effect on it. That's what that one writer said. I don't care how much you try, you got a weakness in your flesh. Yes. That weakness is called sin. Yes. See, man tries to talk over it. Yep. Man tries to think over it, read over it. Tries to sing past that nature. And every now and then that nature asserts itself. The real you comes right on up. Real you comes right on up and it says, I'm still there. That gross, detestable nature. That gross, detestable nature that has an appetite of death is still there. And the only one that can help you overcome that nature is Jesus. That's why Jesus says, I'm glad when my children walk in truth. One thing you have learned when you come over into the holiness is to let you know you have two natures. Just because you got the Holy Ghost don't make that other nature go nowhere. You and I have two natures, and that other nature is a no good thing. In other words, no good can come from it. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to help you to overcome that nature, right? Say, Lord, I want to walk in the truth. I want to walk up under your spirit. You need the Lord to change your position first. There is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation is sin judgment. There is no sin judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's why you got to focus on being born again. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is more important in your life than getting your soul right to go back with Jesus, right? Get your soul right. Care how much money you get. I don't care where you go. Nothing is more important in your life than having your soul in the right position. Why? Because when you die, it's time for judgment. After death, then comes the judgment. And Job says, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? You ain't coming back as no caterpillar. You're not coming back as no bird. Your soul has got to spend eternity somewhere. Either it's going to spend eternity in paradise with Jesus, or you will lift up your eyes in hell in conscious suffering. Scripture said that rich man said, my soul is being tormented in this flame, right? You and I got a choice. We have a choice.
We got a choice.
We got a choice of what path we want to go down.
That's it. That's
and the many are going down that path that leads to destruction. And some of them, some people are not willing.
Hallelujah.
Not willing to even, that's why you thank the Lord for the mind to want to walk in the truth. The mind to want to be honest with yourself. Yeah, that's the truth. Truth is nothing more than you being honest with yourself. You don't want to be walking around in no lie. When you know you're not in the right position. How you know what you're doing. Huh? You know your behaviors. You know your attitude. It reflects what path you're on. It tells you a story about your life. It lets you know if there is a problem. And the only one that can fix that problem is Jesus, right? I don't care where you go at. Just like that man that was at the gate called Beautiful. I don't care where they laid his body at. He was at that gate that morning. But I don't care where they put him at. Any day of the week, he still had to suffer with that same condition. Huh? He still had to carry that deadness around in his body. And that's you and I. We still, I don't care where we go at. He said, I don't want to come to your church. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care who you hang around. You still got to carry that death around in your body. And the only one that can bring death back to life is the Lord Jesus. He is the resurrection and he is the life. In other words, nothing can live unless it comes by Jesus. That's why we seek to have fellowship with Jesus. If I just learn how to stay in fellowship with Jesus, I stay in fellowship with life. Obviously that lets you know that the devil don't want you to be here because he doesn't want you to have fellowship with Jesus. He knows your life is hooked up with Jesus. Outside of Jesus, you have no life, right? Ain't no life sitting at home in the bed.
That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.
There's no life there. There's no life in the hospital. There's no life in the doctor's office. There's no life in those pill bottles beside your bed. Huh? Life is only in Jesus. Do y'all understand that? Life is only in Jesus. Nobody but the devil wants you to miss that. It's not in your friends. It's not in what you can acquire in this life. Why? Because you die and you leave all of that stuff here. And the scripture says, who's it going to belong to? Huh? You can't stop it. You can't stop that process. You can't stop the process of Jesus calling you. When he calls, you are going to answer. In other words, you're getting out of here. Ready or not, you're getting out of here. Huh? That's the true saints. That's why I love the Lord when he speaks plain to us. Come on, read me 8 and 2. These are the rules. The rules of the law of the Spirit of Christ. Uh-huh. Yes. The Lord got the Lord has a governing principle. That's what that law means, governing principle. Or there's a rule that you and I must follow, huh? In order for us to be free. And isn't that what you want? You come into the church saying, Jesus, I want you to free me. The Lord said, you must follow my rule. You must follow this law. What is this law? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born above what? Water and spirit. You've got to repent of your sin. In other words, you've got to have a good conversation with yourself. You need to talk to yourself and say, Stephen, you have a problem. I don't care who you are, what your last name is, where you go at, Stephen, you have a problem. What is my problem? You're born in the state or the condition of sin. No matter how hard you try, you will never be free from sin by yourself. Only one that can free you is Jesus. That's what makes him the Savior. That's what makes Jesus the Savior. Can't nobody save you but Jesus. Can no man save you? Nobody can deliver you. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Can't nobody make those shackles of sin fall off of you but Jesus. That's what makes him the Savior. Huh? That's the true saints. Savior means the deliverer. The only one that can free you. Huh? Elder Scudder, if he's the only one that can free me, I'm here to tell you he's got a law. He's got a rule that you and I have to follow. What is that rule? It starts starts with repentance. You and I have got to say, I'm sick of the life of sin. I no longer want to live like that, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
No longer want to live like that. That woman that was a harlot came to the Lord. And the Lord says, where are your accusers at? Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
And they could not, none of them. Because all of them were guilty.
Jesus.
Huh? And that's something. All of them wanted to throw rocks, but all of them were guilty.
Jesus.
Huh? Everybody wants to be a judge.
Jesus.
But nobody wants to have a conversation by themselves.
Jesus.
Nobody wants to look at themselves in the mirror and say, I have a problem.
Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
What is your problem? You can tell. I can always point at Deke and say, Deke, you're doing this wrong. Deke, you're doing that wrong. Deke, you're doing that. But at the end of the day, when I stand before Jesus, Jesus is not going to judge me by what Deke did. Jesus is going to judge me by what Stephen did. So it's up to me to walk in truth. It's up to me to walk in truth. Jesus, show me the errors of my way. Jesus, give me the mind. When you show me my error, give me the mind to correct the errors of my ways, right? That's repentance. That's repentance. Say, oh no, I can't live like this any longer. What I am doing is unacceptable. Forget
it,
whether it pleases people. It's unacceptable to my Creator. My Creator is the one that made me. He made me for His glory. Huh? So that I can exalt Him in my body, right? He has a law. That law starts with repentance. And then it moves on. From repentance to baptism. Huh? Being buried with Him. Huh? Being associated with His death. We go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ to be associated with His death. To let the Lord know, as you said, I want to be married to you. Huh? Realize the Lord could have chosen anyone else. But I let the Lord know, Jesus, I want to be married to you. Meaning I want to take on your last name. It's important to me that I take on your last name. Why? Because when you come as a righteous judge, you're not coming for riffraff. You're only coming for those that are associated with you, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
The Lord ain't coming for side pieces. Huh?
No.
Lord ain't coming for little flings.
No.
He's not coming for one night stands. He ain't coming for that. He's coming for those that He loves.
Yeah.
Huh? Those that have been espoused to Him.
Yeah.
Those that have been married to Him.
Yeah.
Married and faithful.
Yeah.
Come on, not willing to cheat on Jesus.
Right.
I don't want to cheat on Jesus.
Right.
He didn't cheat on me. Yeah. I don't want to cheat on Him, right?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody but the devil try to get you to do things.
Yeah.
Little things that cheat on Jesus.
Right.
When you allow the enemy to keep you away, what do you think you're doing? You cheating on the Lord.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Sometimes your bed is your greatest cheater. Huh? Oh yeah, your bed is your greatest cheater.
Amen.
Why? Because it takes you away from your first love. Think about that. In the eyesight of Jesus, He said, I've given you a moment in the thing that you call life for you to get down on your knees and to pray. Prayer is communication. It's like you picking up the cell phone and you talking to Jesus. Don't you want to have a good conversation with Jesus? It's like you taking that cell phone and you're talking to the Lord up under your pillow with the covers covered over your head, because you don't want nobody to disturb you. You just want to be intimate and talk to Jesus. You want to giggle, you want to laugh, you want to cry. You don't want nobody to get between you and your conversation with Jesus. That's prayer. That is what prayer is. It's your time to talk to Jesus. And who would the devil would try to steal that away from you, right? Lord done told you men are always to pray. Not to faint. That's if you love Jesus. You love Jesus, you'd be glad to talk with the
Lord.
And I ain't talking about when it's just time to get on your knees. I'm talking about all during the day. You just let the Lord know, Lord, I love you.
Yes,
I appreciate everything you do.
You
hear cars screeching. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Not let me be right there. Not let me go through that. Huh? You hear folk yelling all out in the street. Fussing and arguing and complaining. You say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be at peace in my own home. Huh? In my own bed. And you see the devil working all along. All the time, folk hollering and looking, scratching, because they got a problem in their flesh. And you just thank the Lord Jesus, I thank you for helping me be content with what I have. I'm being content with what I have. Allow me to see the good. That's what I thank the Lord. The Lord allows me to see the good. He don't allow my eyes to wander, because he allows me to see the good that he has blessed me with. He blessed me with a beautiful wife. And my eyes, she's beautiful. That's my good thing. That's the one that keeps me sound and grounded. Why? That's who the Lord has given to me. I'm not like these other folk. I need a little sweetheart on the side. I'm not like these other folk running around to see who I can slide out and slide in and take a little something to in the middle of the night. No. Jesus has given me a content mind, a satisfied mind. I realize in Jesus, he is my contentment. He is my satisfaction, right? That's the truth. That's only because I walk after his spirit. I'm following his law, his rule, right? That's the truth. Ain't no fornication over here. Ain't no adultery over here. Because I'm following the Lord's rules. This is the Lord's rules. And after I got up out that water, the Lord told me to walk in the newness of life. That's not saying, Stephen, you're not going to make mistakes. That's not saying, Stephen, you're not going to have some gray areas in your life. That's not saying, Stephen, you're not going to fail from time to time. But I thank the Lord for the mind to walk in truth. Truth is me being honest with me. So when I do get off track, I don't look to try to make excuses. Lord, I failed because of this. I failed because of that. I'm like David. It was me. It was me. Against you, Jesus, I've sinned and done this evil in your sight, right?
Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Jesus.
Honest. With myself.
That's it.
Whole lot of people thinking they're on the right path, but they made all of these deceitful deals. Deceitful deals. Just devilish ways. Devilish ways. Things you think you're going to get by. You ain't going to get by. Jesus sees everything. Ain't nothing hidden from Jesus. You say, well, I ain't going to. You had people before say, oh, I ain't going to support the church no more over here, but I'm going to give my support to somebody else. Devilish ways. You got the devil inside of you. Deceitful ways. Who in the world gave you the mind to do something like that? Here you are being faithful all of these years. Then all of a sudden, you're going to let the devil get into your mind and take what belonged to Jesus and give it to somebody else who the Lord ain't called, who the Lord ain't sanctified, who the Lord ain't set apart for this work. And you're going to go over there and preach Jesus' name. You are a liar. Because the truth is not in you, right? You do not the truth. You do not the truth. You can't look for the Lord to bless you. Not when you're walking in darkness. I don't care who you are, how much you know about this book. As long as you are walking in darkness, the Lord says you are a liar. Is that what 1 John said? The Lord said you are a liar and you do not the truth, right? Lord, help me don't be like that. Help me not to be like that. It ain't no mystery. Why would the Lord say it if it wasn't possible? His children walk in truth.
His children. I want to be the lost child. We've got to learn how to do what? Walk in truth. Can't lie. Can't be deceitful. Huh? A deceitful worker. No. You got to walk in truth. All right, you got to walk honest. Right, I said among all, or even among your enemies, you got to walk honest. You got to be unblameable. In other words, can't nobody put no blame on you. You got to walk honest. And when you're not walking honest, you need to ask the Lord Jesus, create in me a clean heart. Take that dishonest spirit out of me. Don't let me think for a minute that I can call myself being prepared for the rapture and I'm walking around in deceit. I know I ain't doing Jesus right, yet I'm going to let the devil fool me to make me think I'm going back with Jesus and I ain't doing him right. You ain't doing right by the Lord. Hiding behind a lie. You living a lie. You in fellowship with a lie. Oh, that's the truth. You used to be excited to talk about Jesus. Now you don't even talk about the Lord. You used to be excited to witness about the goodness of Jesus. You don't even witness about Jesus no more. You're starting to find that lie. There's some hidden truth in a lie. Nah, ain't no hidden truth in no lie. It was a lie when it started. It's a lie right now. Lies don't change to nothing else. Y'all understand that? Lies don't change to nothing else. That's why I was laughing, this fellow, and then people don't even realize this. When this man, the president, Donald Trump, was giving his speech for his whatever in January, when the presidents give their speeches every year, and he was giving his speech, he says, "I just want America to go back to the good old days. Good old days when the carriages were covered, horse-driven, and people just got along." But see, that's a hidden truth. It was good old days for some people. They don't want to admit all of the horrors that brought that life there. What a peaceful thing. You come over into another territory and you kill and slaughter people to take their land. You weren't here. You took their land and you claimed it to be yours because you had weapons stronger than theirs. And yet you say that this land was founded on truth. It was founded on a lie. And then you take people from out of that country and drag them over here, separating mothers and daughters and sons, and you enslave them and make them work, make them do what you say do, take away their self-worth, and you say that this is a country founded by Jesus. You are a liar, right? You are a liar, and you don't do the truth, right? You don't do no truth. It's no truth inside of you. No truth inside of you. Lies don't change into nothing else. And until mankind comes to an honest, till that man is willing to look at that other fella and say, "I did you wrong. I did you wrong and I got hate inside of you just because you look different from me." I don't want to hear nothing he got to say, right? Why? Because they all liars. All of them, the scriptures say they're walking in darkness. They don't want to come into the light. They don't want to be honest with themselves. That's the truth. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They don't want to be honest with themselves. Everybody's trying to get over making these backdoor deals. These under the cover negotiations, right? And don't want you to see the big picture. Sold yourself to it. Gave yourself over to it. You done became a spokesman for the lie. Oh, that's why politics ain't for the saints. Politics ain't for the saints. It ain't ever for me to be able to run behind no political office. Not as long as I'm living in a wicked world like this. They wouldn't like me. First of all, they're not going to put me in the office. I'll tell you that flat-footed. Because I'm going to tell them the problems in the city is sin. Oh, yeah. Problem in the city is sin. And everybody need to repent. Everybody is crooked. There's none that does right. There's none that done right. You would say, "Well, when such and such want to give you some money, I don't want none of their money. I don't want to be on nobody's television. I don't want nobody to pay my way." Because when you pay their way, you got to speak what they speak. They only know that. When they give you the money, you got to say what they want you to say. And you can't tell the truth. You are on, that's right. You are on their payroll. You are hired by them. Yes.
You are their employee.
Yeah.
And this is what you got. That's why I say politics is not for the church. Politics is not for the saints.
Nope.
I don't care who they are. I don't care how nice they may seem.
Yeah.
Scripture told you they're not bringing you to Jesus.
Nope.
And if they're not bringing you to Jesus, what path are they on? It's got to be the path of destruction.
Right.
It's got to be the path of death. Huh? Much as they preach unity and being together, you can't be together. Huh? All you trying to do is negotiate one sinner with another sinner.
Right.
And at the end of the day, all of them equal death.
Right.
Wage of sin still equals what? Death.
Yeah.
I don't care how bright the sun is shining. It's still death, right? That's the truth, saints. But the Lord has a law. Huh? The Lord has a law that has made me free from the law of sin and death. Huh? Come about that water walking in the newness of life. Lord says you need a keeper. You need a sustainer. You need something to seal you until the day I come back for you. That's the role of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is your sealer. It's your preserver. Is there to keep you fresh until Jesus comes back for you. Huh? Keep stuff out of you that don't belong and correct the stuff in you and get that stuff out of it. Holy Ghost makes a little back door for stuff that don't belong in you to get out of you. Huh? That's true. Holy Ghost makes a little door for you to say, get that out of you. Get that out of you. An escape route. That was one writer said, it goes out to the drop. In other words, it's waste. And I'm not going to give waste to nobody. I'm going to put waste where it belongs at. It belongs in the garbage can. That's the truth, saints. Waste belongs in the garbage can. I'm not going to try to mess up somebody else's life with the mess Jesus took out of me. Once the Lord take it out of me, it belongs in the trash can. If you are a makeup wearer, say, I came over in the holiness, but I had thousands of dollars of makeup. All kind of lipstick, all kind of, you know, whatever, nail polish, all that other kind of stuff. Had all that stuff, I'm saying, oh, I'm going to just go give it to my niece. I'm going to go give it to my daughter. No, no, no. If it wasn't good for you, it's not good for them. Elder Scudder, what am I going to do with it? Put it in the trash can. It's waste. Waste belongs in the garbage, right? That's right, get rid of it. That's a whole lot of money. Yes, it is. The devil had a good worker inside of you. And you need to thank the Lord. He freed you from that. Lord says, yeah, I freed you from the law of what? Sin has a law too. Sin has rules too. Jesus says, cover it up. Sin says, show it. Take it off. Show it. Shake what your mama gave you. Is that what the sin tell you? All of these dances, all of these moves that the world is doing, all it's doing is trying to stir up your flesh. And Paul done told you no good is in it. No good is in that flesh. Don't let your children come home and show you the latest moves. Say no, no, no. Not in this house. Why? Because we're trying to live for Jesus. There is a law. There is a rule of sin and death. And Jesus has come to free you from that law, right? That's the truth. Mama, you won't give me some money to go to the concert? No, I'm not. We don't do that here. Oh, but we're just going to get together. No, we're not. We don't do that here. Well, you're trying to hold me back. Well, call it whatever you want to call it. You're not going to do that here. And when you get on your own, if you go do it, so be it. But do not call me when the wage of sin comes upon you. Don't call me when they lock you up. Don't call me when they break your heart. Don't call me when they steal from you. Because what I'm going to say to you is what I'm saying to you right now. That the wage or the payment of sin is death. Why do you love the world so much and the world didn't do nothing for you? Jesus says, I love you so much. I gave my life for you, right? Why do you love the world so much and the world didn't do nothing for you, right? World has nothing to offer you but death. Scripture says, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This is not of the Father, right? But it is of the world, right? The world passes away, right? And all the lust thereof, right? Yeah, that's the truth, saints. World passes away. All that stuff. There's nothing new up under the sun. They were shaking during Jesus' day. Clothes was coming off during Jesus' day. Scripture done told you that harlot came to him. She looked like a harlot. So that doesn't mean she was covered all. She looked like a harlot. The Lord didn't pay no attention to her harlot ways. You say, well, did the Lord take a little glimpse? According to the scripture, the Lord said he was writing in the dirt. That's what the scripture say. In other words, he wasn't looking. Ain't no sin. Ain't nothing wrong with looking. The Lord said he wasn't looking. He was writing in the dirt. Talking while he was writing. Now, where are your accusers?
Yeah.
Amen. They're all by herself. Lord says, well, if that, he says, she said, none of them. Lord says, well, go and sin no more. Could she continue like a harlot? She could have. But if she didn't, she wanted to be free. This is how you got to get that whole thing out of your mind with the Lord. Say, come as you are. You have came already. Now, it's up to, it's the Lord want to change you now. You've been did that. You came day one as you are. Now it's time to do what? Change. What did the Lord say? What am I supposed to? How am I supposed to? Go and sin no more. Take away all that stuff that's not like Jesus. People say, oh, it's a little bit, it's all right to have fun. No. The Lord said, don't sin no more. So that means a little bit is not enough. You can't do that. I can't have a CD for Monday and Thursday and then some different CDs church days. You know, Mondays and Thursdays because I don't come to church those days. I got a little this that I listen to. You know, just a little something, something to put me in the mood, to calm my nerves. Jesus said, you are living a double life. What day of the week do you want me to come back for you on? I pray it don't be a Monday and a Thursday. Because your mind ain't nowhere on me those days. Oldies but goodies. That's my oldies but goodies day. I like to listen to a little, you know. Just make me, you know, make me feel good and mellow out. That's the law of sin and death.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, you ain't never. I know all of you have been churches like that. You know people that go to church like that. They holy and sanctified. Church day. Church day, they wake up playing church music. They go to church. Everything is church that day. Thank the Lord the sun goes down. I know they be praying, Lord, let the sun go down. Because when the sun goes down, Sunday is over. Then after all, then the game comes on. Football game comes on. Jesus put up under the table till next Sunday. When the football game comes on, we light up, we drink, we party, good time, You even invite other people over that went to church with you, I'm trying to help you understand that's that double life. You're a double agent. You're working for Jesus and the devil at the same time. And I'm trying to tell you, in your mind, what do you think it's going to be like if the Lord catches you? What if the rapture happens the day that you're partying? You think the Lord is going to take you and leave everybody else that's doing the same thing that you're doing? Is that fair? You think at all, here you are drinking and smoking with everybody else in the room. But then because you say you go to church, it's only fair for the Lord to come get you because you went to church Sunday, but leave everybody else in the room that's doing the same thing you're doing. That don't even add up. The law, the physical law don't even govern itself like that. That's like you, me driving down the street, a fella rob a bank, and me driving down the street, and he get in the car with me, and I drive him. When the cops catch up with us, who they gonna lock up? But I didn't walk in no bank. I didn't hold nobody up. But you with them. Yeah, you with them. You're in agreement with what he's doing.
I didn't want him to. Did you over? I let him in, but why are you driving all off then? Didn't you hear the sound? I heard the cars behind me, but you know, I knew he had just got in here from robbing the bank, and I didn't know what y'all was gonna do. Well, we're gonna lock you up. He just robbed the bank and you just took him away from it. Does that, so if the law works that way, and the law is imperfect, what do you think is going to happen when you come before a righteous judge who's going to judge you by the standards of what? So it's important for me to walk in the truth, isn't it? Come on, so much is going on, I can't even get it all out of my head. But I'm praying you all are getting the concept of what I'm trying to say. Go over to the book of Luke really quick. I didn't finish up Romans, but go to Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 24 or 23.
23.
Yes.
All right. 23
reads,
He said one unto them, yes, Lord, are this you that be saved?
Yeah.
And he said unto them,
Stop trying to worry about the numbers. That's how the devil sometimes try to mess with our minds. We come in sometimes, people out here, and we say, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Because sudden said, nah, stop worrying about the numbers. You need to work on you getting into the gate. Huh? You look around this morning, a whole lot of faces are not here. But at the end of the day, you best believe I'm going to preach just as hard as I got a church full. Why? Because I'm striving to make sure I get in there. But what about, I don't know whether they're going to make it or not. Those that are not here this morning, I don't know if they're going to make it. Those that are here, I don't know if you're going to make it. But at the end of the day, I better do everything I can do to get in there myself. Huh? What if Sister Scudder gives up? The only thing I can do is pray for her. But I cannot follow behind her. It makes no sense for both of us to go to hell. That don't make no sense for both of us to go to hell. So that we can look at each other and call each other dummies. Rich man got more sense than a whole lot of other folk. Rich man got to hell and he said, do not let me go back and tell my brothers, don't follow behind me. That part of salvation is selfish. And it's okay. Why would you say that, Elder Scudder? Because the Lord said it. At the end of the day, he told you to save yourself. In other words, don't let nobody else cause you to miss your blessing. Run for your own life. Folk want to be dragging and slow. Let them be dragging slow on their own. Save yourself. That's scripture. Lord done told you this message is going to drive a wedge between mother and daughter, father and son, husband and wife. This word is going to drive a wedge. It's going to separate people. You can be like some of the other folks. Oh, I don't want to go with my mother and my father. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to go with them? I want to just see. I'd be so glad when I see my grandmother and my mom and my dad. Are you sure? Do you know where they went? Oh, I know they went back with Jesus. Are you sure? Because according to the scripture, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the stories you be telling me about your grandmama and your granddad, they weren't saved. You talked about them. All I kept hearing about is how much they love to drink. How much they love to fight. How many kids they had outside the marriage? Yet you want to say, well, I know they would. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to go wherever they are at? Because if you really listen, the wicked cry. What do the wicked say? The wicked say, do not come here. We can't get out. Wicked cry that. They do not come here. Don't follow behind me. That was Lot's wife's problem. Say, I just got to watch. She turned to a pillar of salt. Her problem was she couldn't hear what was going on in Sodom. Lord didn't tell them not to listen. He didn't block up their ears.
No.
He just told her not to do what? Look back. But as a result of her doing what? Looking back. But you know good and well, Sodom wasn't quiet.
Right.
There was a whole lot of what? Screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
But you know how they say curiosity killed the cat?
Right.
Lord told them, when you get out, don't look back.
Right.
So you just how much in love him and his wife was. How much the children love their mother. Oh, think about it. Did they turn into a pillar of salt?
No.
That don't seem fair, Elder Scudder. Oh, well, it looked like it to me when somebody trying to live. Would they say every man for themselves? Huh? House on fire, and your wife say, oh, let me run back upstairs and get my... Oh, I'm going out the door.
Right.
I can't leave my pocketbook. I'm going out the door. As soon as I go out the door, house caves in.
Right.
Do you think I'm going to jump into the fire?
No.
What good is it going to do? She's dead.
Right.
She's burnt up.
Yeah.
That's why the Lord said it like this, let the dead do what bury the dead.
Yeah.
Huh? In other words, put things in perspective. This way of life is going to separate you from people that are very close and dear to you. But at the end of the day, you got to save yourself. Because you're going to stand before Jesus all by yourself. No partners. Me and Sister Scott are not going to stand together with Jesus. Lord ain't going to look at us and say, oh, y'all are a good little team. Nah, Lord say, no, you stand over there, it's Stephen's turn right now. That's a sweet thing. I'm not going to be able to look over my shoulder and say, did y'all fast? Did we fast? Did y'all pray? We did pray. Did y'all study the word? My wife read the Bible all the time. Stephen, did you study the word? Huh? My wife was a prayer warrior. She prayed all. Stephen, did you do what you were supposed to do? Right? That's what the righteous judge is going to look at you at. He's going to judge you by the standards of righteousness. Right? Does that make sense, saints? All right. I'm done. Put another scripture in your notes. John chapter number 8:44. I may have to do this another Sunday. Because we got to get this straight. We got to get this real straight about walking in truth. We got to get this straight. The devil make you think you're doing wrong when you actually are doing right. And then make you think you're doing right when you actually are doing wrong. So we got to get this straight about walking in truth, saints. All right? All right, I'm going to stop. My time is done. I trust you got something out the word. Part one was this Sunday. We'll do part two next Sunday. Okay, walk in truth. Walking in truth.